If you could please turn your Bible to Acts chapter 10, please. Acts chapter 10. And before we start, let us bow our head and let's pray and ask the Lord to be with us, yeah? Heavenly Father, Lord, please, Lord, I pray, Lord, you fill me with your spirit, Lord. Help me, Lord, to preach, Lord, and Lord, Father, help me to be bold, Lord, but also, Lord, to be humble, Lord, Father. And Lord, Father, please help your people to hear and understand, Lord. And Lord, I pray, Lord, you do a great work in their heart, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, amen. Okay, now in the book of Acts chapter 10, that's the chapter that God have given me as I start my the ministry. And I want to preach a message today about why we need to send missionaries. And using Acts chapter 10, I want to preach three points why we need to send missionaries. These 3 points are these. First, because of a great confusion. And secondly, because of a great commission. And thirdly, because of a great conversion. So in the book of Acts, chapter 10, we'll start to read from verse 34. Now, but before, what I want to tell you, I'm going to be preaching throughout the whole chapter, but for sake of time, we'll start to read in verse 34 in a minute. But I want to tell you what happened in the book of Acts before verse 34. Now, I hope you has been reading your Bible and studying it, and you know a little bit about Cornelius. That's the man we're introduced in the book of Acts, introduced to him. And what you see about Cornelius is that he's a very religious man, very religious and full of good works. Very peculiar, because usually Gentiles in the Bible are called sinners, you see. But Cornelius is different. We see this man, very religious, as I said, and full of good works. And this man was praying. And he's praying and he's fasting and he had a vision. And in this vision, he see an angel. And the angel say, Cornelius, send men to get Peter. Call for Peter. And Peter will tell you what to do. So Cornelius goes to his men. And Cornelius send his men to get Peter. While Cornelius' men is going to get Peter, Peter himself is praying and he's having a vision himself. And in his vision, God is showing Peter that he will save the Gentiles also. So then the men of Cornelius arrived at Peter's place, take Peter and bring Peter back to Cornelius. Meanwhile, while they're going to meet Cornelius, Cornelius has gathered together his family, his kinsmen, and near friend. And there they are waiting for Peter to come. And we'll read from verse number 34. And from the verse number 34, the Bible says this, Acts chapter 10, verse 44, the Bible says, then Peter opened his mouth. That's what we are called to do, amen? And said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of person, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophet witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sin. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentile also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. So, that's a salvation. That's how Cornelius got saved. Amen? Now, before I preach my first point, we need to send missionaries because of a great confusion. I want to lay foundation here. In this part of the Bible, Acts chapter 10, there's a great transition getting place. The children of Israel have rejected God as a nation. They rejected God. And now what you see is that God is turning to the Gentile. And at the very, very beginning of his transition, we are met with Cornelius. Actually, what you see is there is one person we could say he's a Gentile before Cornelius, and that's the Ethiopian eunuch. But the Bible says about the Ethiopian eunuch that he came from worshiping from Jerusalem. So the first Gentile here in the book of Acts to be saved is Cornelius. That's very important. I want to precise this. And this man Cornelius, what you're going to see, I'm going to show you in a minute, is that he's living by principle that us Christians, we should live. This man is religious and full of good works. And so what I want to show you now is let's go and see his salvation and see how he got saved. And so in verse number 34, the Bible says this. At first he says Peter opened his mouth, and then what will happen is Peter will preach the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then verse 43, we read this. To him give all the prophet witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sin. And look at this, verse 44. While Peter yet spake this word, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. Well, what happened? They got saved. They received the Holy Spirit. And I want to make this clear. They've received the Holy Spirit and that they got saved. And what we can do is just go with me to Ephesians chapter 8, just in case there's people around us who is not saved. I want to show you that he believed in here. He believed in Jesus Christ. In the book of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12, we'll start reading this. Paul is talking about those in Christ, and he said this, that we should be the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. See what happened here? By the way, trusting and believing, God uses both. If it's for you to get saved, you have to believe. Believing is trusting. And so what happened is we hear the gospel, we believe it, and then we receive the Holy Spirit that seals us. That's how we're saved, yeah? So going back to Cornelius and his friends, so that's what happened to them. So Peter preached to them, they hear it, they believe it, and then they receive the Holy Spirit. And now they're saved, amen? So what I want to show you here is that, so the Bible is clear here, they get saved by grace through faith. They receive remission of sin by believing in Jesus Christ. This is very important because what I'm going to show you now is that all the work of Cornelius. Cornelius was a good man. Cornelius was a man full of good works. But nevertheless, the Bible is clear here that he got saved by grace through faith, by believing in Jesus Christ. Now go with me, let's see how good this man Cornelius is. Let's see how good he is, how good his work is. So chapter 1, verse 1 says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feareth God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. You see what the Bible says in the verse number 2? The Bible says about Cornelius that he's a devout man. Cornelius was a devout. Now, praise God, the Bible sort of defines itself straight in verse number 7 when it says this about a devout soldier. Look at this, verse 7 with me. Acts chapter 10, verse 7, and it says this. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them which waited on him continually. You see, devout is connected to be steadfast, continually serving God. And that's what sort of man he was. He was a devout man. And look at this, one that feared God. Whoa, Cornelius feared God. The Bible says about Job that he was a man that feared God and eschewed evil. He restrained himself from doing evil against God. He feared God. That's what the fear of God will do. He will help us not to sin against God. By the way, Paul said this. I think Paul says about that he's about the love of Christ, what God have done for him, constraineth him to do the good. But look at this. That's what he keep in his mind. Jesus loves me, and whatever he died for me. And so this constrained Paul to do good. I believe this, that the fear of God, keeping in your mind that you will be chastised when you sin, will restrain you from doing evil against God. So we need both. We need to remind ourselves that God loved us so we can go and do something for God. So this will constrain us to do good. And if we fear God, this will restrain us from committing sin against God. So we need both. And not only Cornelius feared God, but look at this, with all his house. Cornelius have taught his family to fear God. That's what we are called to do. Not only we are called to fear God, we're to teach it to our children, to fear God with all his house. And look at this, which gave much alms unto the people. He gave a lot of money to the poor. By the way, it says a lot about Cornelius. First, he's devout, so he's steadfast. And then he feared God. And also, and that he gave much alms. He was not a man that loved money. That's why I want to show you this here. He was not somebody that loved money. And by the way, 2 Corinthians 8:8, your giving prove the sincerity of your love. We say we love God. Well, our giving truly tell us whether we loved him or not. Amen. So he loved, he gave much alms to the people, and look at this, and prayed to God always. Cornelius was a man of prayer. He prayed to God. That's what we are called to do. We are called to pray and to pray, look at this, without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. We are called to pray without ceasing. And here's Cornelius himself praying, and always, the Bible says. Now, please turn with me to verse 30. No, actually, we turn to verse 24 first. Verse 24. And look at this, what it says about Cornelius. So here he sent men to get Peter. And look at this. And the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, Cornelius, so that's Peter and the men coming, and Cornelius waited on them. Okay? And look at what it says. And had called together, look at this, his kinsmen and near friend. Cornelius was an evangelist. God has spoken to Cornelius, and this is what Cornelius have done. He's called his family, his kinsmen, his family, and not only his family, his near friends. That's what we're called to do. Is that not that the Great Commission? We are called to go to the uttermost part of the world. Now, to the uttermost part of the world, I want to show you something more about Cornelius. Please turn to the verse 7 with me again. And he says this in verse 7. So Cornelius have called his family, and he've called his near friends to listen to Peter. But not only this. In verse 7, it says this, and when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And verse 8, and when he had declared all things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. Not only he also, what God have said to him, he also said that to his workers. So my point is this. The Great Commission is to go to the uttermost part of the world. But it says this, but you, when you will be endued with power, you'll be witnesses unto me, first in Jerusalem. Amen. In Jerusalem, and then Judea, and then Samaria, and then to the uttermost part of the world. The principle you get here is very simple. Around us first. Your own first. Your own first. That's what it. That's a principle we get. And that's, didn't the Lord didn't do that? He came to the Jews first. So I'm here today, and I'm hope that you will support me, and you'll send me to the uttermost part of the world. But I'm praying that you will reach your own family, your own family, your own friends, and the people that work, your workmate. That's your ministry. By the way, if you're saved, you are a missionary too, because the Bible says, "Go ye, all the disciples." He's talking to his disciples, say, "Go ye, all of you." So we're all commanded to go. And so, by the way, I want to point this before we go, that we go to them. We don't wait for them to come to us. We go ye unto the most part of the world, okay? Now, so we start, that's what Cornelius was, evangelist, and he was doing it right. He started with his family. But also, I want to show you verse 30. It says this about Cornelius. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour, I prayed, and in the ninth hour, I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. He was fasting. Cornelius was a man that fast. That's what we are called to do. Fast and pray to get closer to God. Also, I want to show you one more thing about Cornelius, is that look at verse 22 with me. This is what men says about Cornelius, what his men think of him. And they said, so that's his men talking to Peter about Cornelius. And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man and one that feareth God and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by the Holy Ghost, And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man and one that feareth God and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear the word of thee. So this is what men think of Cornelius. Men think that he was a just man. Not only a just man, they knew that he feared God. And I want to stress a bit on this. Look at this. And of good report among all the nation of the Jews. He loved the Jews. By the way, did not God say to Abraham, I will bless those that bless thee? Yes. Listen, I think of all that's happening now and all the world turning against Israel. I don't think it's godly, my people. I don't think it's godly. I think we should stand with the Jews. I don't think they're saved. If they want to go to heaven, they have to trust in Jesus Christ. But nevertheless, I believe we have to still stand behind them. Amen. Now, so that was Cornelius, and how Cornelius was a devout man, full of good works. So my first point was this. My first point is we should send missionaries because of a great confusion. Now, what is this great confusion that I'm talking about? Well, Proverbs 20, verse 6 says this, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. This is the confusion in the heart of man. I had this problem too. Men think he's good. That's the problem they have. They're trusting in their works. Ultimately, they're trusting in themselves, and that's pride. That's what man is by nature. And so my point is this. But the Bible shows us even Cornelius falls short of the glory of God. Can you see what's going on here? At this very beginning of his transition, as I said, God is making clear here, hey, look at Cornelius. I mean, this man is devout, feared God, give alms. I mean, he's a good man, nevertheless, saved by grace through faith. And here is man. He thinks he's good. So he's not coming to us, and so we should go to them. And so what I'm trying to say is, It's in their heart, in the heart of men, they believe they're good. And as long as they believe, they're trusting in their works, they're trusting in themselves, they cannot be saved. Because for you to be saved, you have to understand that you're a sinner. And when you understand you're a sinner, then you can receive Christ as your Savior. So what we should do is, what we're meant to do is bring the two together. Bring the Bible to men. Tell men the truth. We have to tell them that there's only one way to get to heaven. It's by Jesus Christ. Because if there was one man, one Gentile that could be saved by his work, Cornelius would be that man. He is the very first man that God chose choose to save. He would be that man because that man was that good. Yet the Bible says he trusted in, show us that he believed in Jesus Christ and he received remission of truth. So we should go and preach the gospel, bring the truth to them. Help them to understand that they are sinners. Help them to know that they cannot be saved except by believing in Jesus Christ. We want to be a Peter unto them. Peter goes there and he opened his mouth and he preached to them. The Bible says God have chosen the foolishness of preaching to save men. Men will not be saved except they hear the preaching because they're confused in their heart. They're trusting in their works. So please be a good missionary to your friends and your family and to the people that work with you and tell them that Jesus Christ died for them and they cannot be saved by their own works. Amen. Now, my second point, we need to send missionaries because of a great commission. God commanded us to do so. Please turn with me. So it's Acts chapter 10. Please turn to verse number 42 with me. Look at what Peter said while he's preaching. And I hope we remember this tonight. And Peter is preaching and he says, and he commanded us, talking about Jesus Christ, and he commanded us to preach unto the people. Let's read that again. And he commanded us to preach unto the people. We are commanded to preach to the people. That's a great commission. We should send missionaries because of a great commission. The great commission is we go to the world, to the uttermost part in the world, starting in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. We preach, they get saved, we baptize them, we teach what God have commanded us to do. And if we do this right, I believe what we start is a chain reaction. We should be able to evangelize Australia very quickly. Because here's a man that gets saved. If you are doing what God have called you to do, it will be hard to reach whole Australia, the whole world. But unfortunately, as Christians, we're not preaching the gospel. We're not opening our mouth as we should. But one thing I want to show you about the Great Commission is this, is we are called to preach. And he commanded us to preach to the people. And I just explained these people. We want to reach the uttermost part of the world, but we start closer to us. That's a people. But also, I want to stress on this, is he commanded us to preach. Paul says, have the offense of a cross cease. Listen, there's an offense in the cross. People get offended. But we are called to preach it. Nevertheless, people get offended. You tell them that it is not by their works that they are sinners. Their work cannot save them. And they get offended and they might get angry. They get offended. Nevertheless, we are called to preach. Tell them that, listen, what I've seen lately is that more and more they're removing sin from the gospel or they're removing hell from the gospel. Brethren, if you remove sin and hell from the gospel because you don't want to offend people, it's no longer the gospel. It's no longer the gospel of Jesus Christ. So don't, we live in a society, I see this now, it's becoming like my country. People are so cautious with their words, and it's good to an extent. But nevertheless, truth comes first. Let's tell people, even if they will be offended, we still have to tell them the truth if we love them. So we have to go and do what the Lord have commanded us, go and preach. Go and preach. And when we will preach right, this will bring conviction. If when we are preaching, it doesn't bring conviction, I have to be careful what I'm saying here, is there might be a problem somewhere. So preaching brings conviction. Preaching of a gospel conviction, and if they respond right to the conviction, then I believe and God show them who Jesus Christ is, and then you know they can call on the Lord to save them. So we should go to them, love the people, love them. By the way, John 3:16, we know this verse very well. God so loved the world. He loved the world. So if you love the world, don't try to be diplomatically correct when you have to tell the truth. Don't try to remove the offense from which is innately in the gospel. Stick to what the Bible says. Preach it. Preach the gospel. That they, if they die at first, they are sinners before God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. They are sinners before God. Secondly, the wages of sin is death. They will die and go to hell because of their sin. Thirdly, God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus died for us. And lastly, if they would call on the Lord and the Lord would save them, then go ahead and call on the Lord. Yes. Amen. So in its simplicity, as simple as this, but they need to hear. You need to preach to them. Don't try to remove preaching from the gospel. Amen. That's one thing, and I want to preach one more thing here, but the Bible says it's not here, but the Bible, remember when the Holy Spirit, probably you study your Bible, but the Holy Spirit spake to Peter, and he said unto Peter, and says, arise, get down, and go. That's what we are called to do. We are called to go, and not wait for them. I've mentioned it before. The gospel is this. The lost will not come to us. So the Lord himself left heaven. He came down. He initiated this love. So he came down for us to save us. And now, because he was a son of God. Now we are saved. Now we are son of God. We are his witnesses. So now we go to the lost. We don't wait for them. So don't wait for your friends to come to you. They will not come. They believe they're good. And they will die like this. No, don't wait for them. You go to them. You go. You go to your friends. You go to your family. And you help me go to the uttermost part of the world, my country. Amen. So we go to them. I think for sake of time, we'll finish now. But I hope that you were exhorted by this, and you will do what the Lord have done to us. Okay, He died. He came down. He came down. He died, and then so that He can save the people. And so we are called to do the same. Okay. By the way, I want to tell one more thing. Remember Cornelius? Cornelius is praying. And then in a vision, he saw an angel. The angel said unto Cornelius, go and get Peter. Peter will tell you what to do. So angel will not preach the gospel either. It's our ministry. That's our ministry. And the last thing I would say, if you see, if you go on the beach and you see somebody dying in the water and you see the lifeguard, he's sitting there and he's doing nothing, you say there's something wrong with you. And so this is how. And so my point is this, if we have a gospel, we should bring it to the world. If we are not, there's something wrong with us. Furthermore, what if lifeguard is sitting there and his sisters and his brothers and his friends and his colleagues are dying? You would say, well, there's something majorly wrong with you. So let us this not be our case, okay? Let us go to, at least let us reach the people around us. Understand, sometimes it's hard to just stop somebody on the road and give them a gospel tract. It might be hard. But your ministry is this. It's your friends, your family, your friends, and your colleagues. At least reach them, amen. 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 That's it. Pastor, you want to come forward?